Church, it's 11:55. Okay. Ben, Ruth, accept my sympathy for your loss, but it is only a sleep. It's only a sleep. You know, every night when you go to bed, next morning you already have something planned for the next day. So with the departure of your brother that have been to sleep, I know the next thing he's looking forward to is to see the face of Jesus. We need to strengthen each other with those words. Just a brief comment. The prison ministry is going on very strong, but not without conflict. There is a preacher from the Pentecostal, from the Church of Christ, that walking on me one Sunday, three Sunday mornings ago, and just come and stand up right in front of my platform, right in front of my desk. A couple of guys there, I'm having my Bible study, and he says, I'm supposed to be here at 3 o'clock. He just stood up then, went to take over. I humbly moved away for him. He did it again the next time. The chaplain decided to get rid of him, but I said, no, don't kick the man out for my sake. Because I have an experience once I was in there, the way I get kicked out so easily. So I don't want nobody to be kicked out for my sake. But one of the things that he told me in his conversation, he says, you know, and it is only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes sense in the world today. Hello, I said, I know that. I think you understand that too. Then I asked him what religion you belong. He said he's non-denominational. I asked him and I pushed him, and then he said he's from the Church of Christ. I said, okay. He asked me and I told him I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, well, I think it's time for all these religions to go down. Move all religions out of this world today and just let the Christians take over. And that's what I am determined to do here. That's what he told me. He's determined to do that, to push all religions aside. But, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. God is good. And all the time? Come on, church. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
This morning, it is an honor and a privilege for me to stand before you. I had some notes we had for you to read for me, and I left it in the other Bible. But that's okay. I want to discuss with you this morning, why was sin permitted? Why was sin permitted? Can you lower down this a little bit? It's coming back very strong. You know, rebellion started in heaven. And it started with the greatest enemy of the world, the devil. But he wasn't yet the devil, he was Lucifer. And so the problem started with Lucifer wanting the position of the Son of God. And so he decided that he wants to push him aside and for him to take his position. That was asking for a little much, don't you think so? But God, in his mercy, tolerated the devil for quite a while. Sometimes when we find ourselves in a little situation, we want vengeance right away. but it's unlike God. Patriarchs and prophets. Patriarchs and prophets give it in its full detail. So I would urge you that have this book on your shelves, dust it off and read it. God the Father, the Almighty, pleaded with the devil to change his mind. He wouldn't. God the Son pleaded with the devil. He wasn't the devil yet. He was Lucifer. Pleaded with Lucifer and urging him to change his mind. Spirit of prophecy continued to say, yes, he gave in a little bit, but the position he wants that position. And so he go right back in the rebellion. As the same angels that he negotiated for, the angels turn around and says, Lucifer, you got to change your mind. You cannot go on with that plan. You cannot do that. Change your mind. But he wouldn't. And so the Lord came to his pick. And the Son of Man, and the man angel, Michael, fought with him and cast him out. On his way out, he took one third of the... So when you have an evil angel walking with you, just remember the Lord has a double portion to help you. Because he only took one third, and there's still two thirds left. What a wonderful God we serve. But the devil never stopped there. From the time he was cast out, he came down with a vengeance. And it was at the casting out of the devil out of heaven, he became Satan. But while he was in heaven, that beautiful name Lucifer, that was his name, continued down here on earth. I believe one of the reasons that the Lord allowed him to give him that moment, to give him a chance to repent, it's because the Lord knew exactly what was in his mind for the end of time. And he knew that the devil would, if he went down, he would have to pay for everyone that do not accept the Lord as their personal savior. And even the Lord know what his punishment would be, he did not want to administer it to him. That is one of the reasons he appealed to him to change his mind. Have you ever had conflicts and want vengeance right away? And some good soul, some good brother, some good sister talk you out of it? And when you have walked out of it, are you not very happy and thank the Lord that you have walked away from it? I have. And so the Lord kept his promise to his people that he will give his angels charge over us, even though the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And from the beginning, empty heaven from sin, the Lord has his plan here on earth when he created man to restore the evil one more time. It started in heaven and he kicked evil out, and it is going to continue with his goodness on earth, preparing a special people for them to regain heaven. Heaven was emptied with sinful angels, but it will be refilled again one more time with the saints that the Lord have died on the cross to redeem. Do I have a witness? Do you want to be there? And as the time goes by, the Lord make his provision, and he's going to judge the world. And if you allow the devil to take possession of you, woe be unto you. But if you allow the Lord to take hold of you, blessed are you. And the Lord showed Daniel in Daniel chapter 7 from verse 9 onward. He showed him his judgment, the work of his judgment. And when the father told the son that the time was ripe, Daniel said that he saw a door in heaven, and there was movements in heaven. And what took place in heaven? Let us look at Daniel chapter 7. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. It will be verse 9. Are you going to read it tonight? Anybody up there, please? Go ahead, read it there.
And after this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. Okay. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair on his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened.
The identical vision that Daniel saw was the identical vision that John the Revelator saw in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to spend some time in chapter 4 and chapter 5. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, And the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet, and said, "Come, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. It read very similar to what Daniel saw. But remember, at the end of the prophecies of the writings of Daniel, the Lord asked him to shut the book up until the time of the end. And at the time of the end, the Lord turned around and allowed John, his revelator, one of his disciples, we know the story, and would give him that very similar vision towards the judgment of God. John saw a door open, and he saw the Ancient of Days, and he saw whatever happened. And around about the throne was 4 and 20 seats, and 4 and 20 elders sitting. And there was given them seven lamps of burning fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The question I want to ask you: who are those elders? The elders around the throne, who are the elders? If we continue on, we will discover that those elders were wearing golden crowns. Nice white remnant. White is for victory. And a crown for your reward. When you and I will be entering heaven, every one of us will be wearing a crown. That is why when the Lord ushers us in heaven, we all are going to be so happy, and we will be laying our crown in the foot of Jesus. We never have a record where angels were wearing crown. I haven't seen it. So there was a special people that was wearing the crown. Who are they? Who are they? Turn with me to where they came from. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Eric, that was what was wrong with me. I couldn't find my notes because it left in the other Bible in the car. I think it is verse 50. Yes, from 50 to 53. When Jesus had heard the cry, a cry again with a loud voice, and he yielded the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, and the earth did shake, and many bodies of the soul arise, and came out of their graves, and appeared to many. Many of those that was in the grave at the death of Jesus Christ, there was an earthquake that took place, and those men that came up, they went through the city of Jerusalem and showed themselves. Many of them raised from the dead, And when Christ was risen, was going up, he took those saints with him. He took those saints that came up at his death, he took them. And he had to present it to his Father. The first fruit of his labor. So you understand why we collect an offering, our tithes and our offerings, is how important it is, the first fruit of our labor. That's why we always encourage, or people are encouraged to, you take your tithes out first. It's the first fruit. The Lord took them up. And the Bible and the spirit of prophecy says that these were the 20 among the 20 and four elders. And the 20 and four elders, John said, he saw one with a book in his hands. And the one that had the book in his hands, the book was tied with seven seals. And out of the seven seals, book is handed out. John heard another strong angel, and he said, go up. No. He heard the angel making the announcement. Who is worthy to take the book and to open it? Who is worthy? And John said he saw that there was no one worthy to take the book. I'm narrating through John chapter 4. No one, I mean Revelation chapter 4, no one was found worthy to open the, to go and get the book from the one that was holding it. And John said he was so sad that he began to weep. And while he was crying, one of the elders turned to him and said to John, he says, weep not. Don't cry. I can hear some mothers when their children are hungry and they're crying. They'll say, hush, my child. Hush, hush, baby, hush. Don't cry. Mommy's going to fix you up in a minute. Don't cry. Because mommy knows she can fix him up or fix her up, because mommy have already made provision for that. And so the elder is saying to him, weep not, John, weep not. Why he told him don't weep? Verse 5 of chapter 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book. Who is that one from the tribe of Judah? Who is Judah? Judah was one of the 12 sons of Abraham. And you know the Lord chose Abraham and gave him 12 sons, and the 12 sons become what? The 12 tribes, let us go on quickly, 12 tribes of Israel, and Judah was one of them. And from Judah, go down the line until it came to Boaz, and it came to Ruth and Boaz and Jesse, and then David. And we know David, Mary and Joseph was from the lineage of David. And this all of this title was belongs to only one man. Only one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the angel the continue to say, you have prevailed to open the book. And in the midst stood a lamb as he had been slain, right in the middle of the elders and the four beasts. While the session is going on, all of a sudden, a lamb makes its appearance as though it was slain. But the elder that spoke to John gave him the assurance that there was one worthy. He was worthy because he was slain. He had gone through all the tribulations. He had overcome the devil. And he is worthy to take the book. He was slain. He was crucified. And if there was one person to give the evidence of assurance that there was one to open the book and to unseal it, it had to be one of the elders, because they know what it was to die and buried and to be risen. They had the personal experience of what was taking place, and they had the assurance that if Christ could redeem them to be sitting here today, he can redeem the earth. So John did not have to be crying. Weep not, John. Weep not. For the lion of the tribe of Judah have prevailed to take the book and to unseal it. What was in this book? What was in this book? It was sealed with seven seals. But the Bible says that the lamb took it, because he was worthy. And the seven seals denote the seven last seals in this earth's history, work of redemption. I want to discuss two of them. The first seal, as a matter of fact, let me back up a little bit. When the Lord gave John the vision, chapter 1, 2, and 3, he gave him messages to the churches, right or wrong. And the message continued on with 4 and 5, showing the judgment. And also shows with that seal, that book that is bound in the angel's hand. What was in there? The seven last seals in this earth's history. The first seal was the spreading of the gospel. At the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 souls was won, which started the church. So this gospel had to go to the entire world. And the rest of the seals is the different dispensation of God's church and the movement in this world today until we go back to heaven with God. You and I have our part to play. The other seal I want to discuss is a sixth seal. The sixth seal. What happened with the sixth seal? Church, we are standing in the dispensation of the sixth seal. We are preaching the everlasting gospel to the world. The last gospel message to the world. You and I have the responsibility to preach it to the world. How do I know we are living in the sixth seal? When the sixth seal was open, it said that there was going to be thunders and earthquake. The sun was going to be darkened. The moon was going to turn into blood, and the stars was going to fall out of heaven. You need to read that I'm trying to see how much I could walk through, so I'm not reading it, I'm just narrating it. But you need to read the book of Revelation. You need to read about the seals. If you don't have the, why don't we come to a Bible study? Why don't we organize a Bible study? Come and join us and study the book of Revelation. It has a lot of information for this church. There's a lot of things that you and I need to know. It would be nice if we understand where we are going, why we are here. In 1755, November 1st, it was the greatest earthquake in Earth's history. The earthquake of Lisbon. How many of you is acquainted with the history? And the second sign was the darkening of the sun, which took place in May 19th, 1780. The third one was the moon turned into blood. And that took place in 1780. May 19th, 1780. The falling of the stars took place November 13th, 1833. And the work is going on. Church, at the end of the sixth seal, there's going to be a period of time that you and I will be without a redeemer. Because the opening of the seventh seal begins the time of trouble. Today, you and I have our responsibility to hustle with the work of God. No wonder. I lost my thought here. No wonder when the Lord was here on earth, he urged his disciples to preach the gospel. He urged them. The disciples couldn't understand everything, so they came to him privately and asked him, "What is the sign of your coming? Please, Master, explain to us what is the sign of your coming." Matthew chapter 24 have the history and the respond of the questions from the disciples to Jesus. Tell us, what is the sign of your coming? And in Matthew chapter 24, there is a few verses that says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man." Do I have a witness? My question to you is that making any sense that the world is coming to its end?
Wow. Wow.
Is it making any sense to you and I today that the world is rapidly coming to its end? Do you listen to the news? I know they're urging us to stay away from television, but some of us with television that watching news, we are thrilled to understand and feel sad for the news that we are seeing. Men are destroying children. Grown-up people destroying children, men and men getting married. Can you imagine that in America that you would ever one day hear that our president in the House, in the White House, our own president will stand up nationwide, worldwide? Because when the America president speaks, the world listens. Stand up and to legalize marriage, same-sex marriage. Can you imagine you hearing that in America? I'm not surprised. Because this great America will fall. If there was another thing I would have to do to be a citizen of America, I would gladly do it. But I know this great America is going to fall. When God created man, and he saw that it was not good for man to be alone, God created him a helpmate. And when Adam saw what God created, oh, what a beautiful image. What a pretty thing that he did for her, for him. Amen. What a beautiful thing that his master have created for him. He had no other choice but to admire her. And then Adam said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and I will call her woman." God never created a he, she. He created him and he created her. He did not create a he, she. He created them male and female. But this world today, just as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, if I wanted your wife, all I had to do was to knock you out and take that woman from you. In the days of Noah, it was all crime, evil, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the people, they never repent. And even the two sons of Noah, the two sons of Noah that went in the ark, they wasn't really repentant. They was only obedient to their father. And so they was rewarded to be saved in the ark. But it's not because they really believed. You read the story, what took place among them. Today, we are living in this world that is so sinful. No wonder when the Lord shows the judgment, what is going to take place. And part of this judgment, my brother, is that you never know when your name is going to come up. When your name come up, you don't know it. Investigative judgment. It is going on right now. Do I have a witness? It started in 1844. On the 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And that is where all the movements of the throne, when Daniel saw the movements of the throne, the Ancient of Days is giving the Son, give the Son his place. And right at the same time, he entered from the holy place to the most holy place, or the heavenly sanctuary. So today, Jesus Christ is atoning for your sins and for my sins. So how important it is for we to live for Jesus Christ today. When your name showed up, Robert Wilson. Everybody's looking around, looking for Robert Wilson. He might not be there, but one is going to stand up. Master, or Father, my blood was shed for Robert Wilson. And so Robert Wilson, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you, young man. No matter how blind you're getting, don't worry that I'll take care of you, man. Come on in." But it is going to be sad when the name Robert Wilson, there's no one to stand for Robert Wilson. So you and I, judgment is going on our behalf. Because the Son of God, the high priest, in the heavenly sanctuary today, and right this minute I'm talking to you, somebody's name is calling up. Somebody's name is being called. If it is your name, are you ready? Come on, church, are you ready? Don't answer me. It's between you and your God. That is why we have to be living daily with God. We make mistakes. Things happen because we are living in a sinful world. But don't continue wasting your time in wasteful living. We need to come to the grips of what is God wanting for me to do? Or what am I doing for God? Or what am I allowing God to do in me? Sometimes we say, I'm working for the Lord. You're not really working for the Lord. You're working for your own self. Because if you don't do the work, the Lord will have somebody else to do it. I am hoping and praying that there is not one of us sitting here tonight, this morning. Not one of us sitting here this afternoon will allow the Lord to kick us out and to bring somebody else in our place. It is not going to be a nice thing. I firmly believe if we are wasting time now playing church, a plane that we know God wasted, lose all this time. We don't do this because we are Adventists, you know. We don't do that because we are Adventists. We don't do that because we are Adventists. But at the end of it, you had depart from me. You know how much time you have wasted? You might as well just do evil. But if we are making a sacrifice, we got to make the sacrifice all the way, because Jesus Christ did not make any shortcut. He came down and they are trying to kill him from the very first day he get in this world. And he could have given up. Thousands and thousands of angels line up, surrounding. All they are waiting for the Father to say, hey, angels, I need you all to go down and take my son off this cross. Or I need you all to go down and take him out from this whipping. Oh, I could tell you what. One angel caused earthquake when he came down to raise him from the dead. I know with 10,000 times 10,000, they did not even have to come. They could just, you know. The Lord don't leave us alone. He is with us. He promised to be with you all the way. The judgment is coming on you and I, brother. We don't like to hear the word judgment. Because too often when we speak about judgment, we feel that it's kind of arrogant. We want to brand the person that mentioned judgment all the time, brand him like a castaway. But judgment is part of our reason we are in church. It's part of the reason because we want to get away from the wrath of the one that stands on the throne. You need to be very careful that and to escape the wrath of a righteous God. Because the very same love, the same God that loves you and is giving you, promise you life eternal, is the same one that is going to judge you to the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So this morning, I'm trying to appeal to you. Don't just be a Seventh-day Adventist. Don't just come to church. Oh, let me go by the Seventh Day's church today. We have to mean business. Because when Christ came down on earth, he meant business. That's why he came. He was worthy to take the book. And he also is worthy to save you and I. And so the question is, who shall you return? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the Lord, and who hath appointed him? The Lord is standing at your door today, Lord, my brothers. And he's knocking. Will you allow him in? Or will you shut the door in his face? I hope and pray that should we not see on this side of heaven, we will all meet in glory. Please meet in glory. May God bless you.